this morning, I just want to be sensitive to the Lord. But I want you people to understand how there is so many people in this world that wish unto God they could be in the house of God this morning. Amen. And we get to do it all the time. Thanks be unto God for something that we're so undeserving for. I thank the Lord for that singing, brother. I thank the Lord for what you had to say. I mean, my. It's just such the Lord has been so good to us up here. I mean, these doors could have been shut years ago. But by the grace of God, here we are. What would have happened to most of you in here if these doors would have shut more than 2 years ago? Most of you would still be lost. Maybe you had gotten saved somewhere else. Most of you in here would have never stepped foot inside these doors and heard the preaching that day. And most of myself, I'm talking about that we need a fire underneath us, friends. Amen. We need a fire underneath us. There's a God in heaven who literally done all the work for you. And all He asked for us to do is worship Him. That's it. That's all He asked us to do. And if we can't look forward to heaven, we look forward to ball games tomorrow more than we look forward to heaven. Amen. Friend, I'm telling you. I praise the Lord for the goodness that He showed upon us. I mean, we're celebrating 134 years at this church. Not me, obviously, but 134 years that these doors have been swung open on a regular basis to come inside here. Now think about that. Now that's the grace of God. There's doors shutting day by day. Every single day there's church doors shutting across this land. By the grace of God, you've still got a good church to come into. Amen. The churches in Colorado, the churches up out west, they have churches maybe every 25, 30 miles. Maybe if you get in a good spot. Maybe. I mean, there's two churches. When we go to Colorado, there's two churches within a 4-hour distance of the church that we're going to be working on. From here to Delonica, Georgia, on the other side of Delonica, I mean, from here to there, there's two churches in between. Think about that. And we can go to all kinds right here in the Bible Belt. Unworthy people is what we are. But thank God for His goodness upon us this morning. You know, it's the grace of God this place is here. It's because of the battles that have been fought by the women and the men for the freedom that we have to be able to stand inside of this church today with a holy Bible. Everybody got a Bible? Hold it up. Amen. Listen, you got a Bible in your lap, a home in heaven. And friend, I tell y'all this morning, it's by the grace of God that you got what you got. The grace of God. I mean, seriously, because men and women have fought the battles, they fought all the fights so that you and I could have the freedom that we have here today to stand in Mountain Valley Baptist Church at the 134th homecoming of this church. All because of them. All because of them. But I tell you this morning, friend, on the other note of that, on the other side of thinking about that, some 254 years ago, there was a man, 2,054 years ago, there was a man who stepped on the scene, who was sent by God. And I believe it was that long ago because he lived to 33 and a half years. It's been 221 years since he's been come to this earth and sacrificed on that tree. The sacrifice that he made on that hill that day, on Mount Calvary, the sacrifice that he made for you and I is so that we can stand here and just uplift a voice to him. Now that's something about it, friend. You and I could stand here today with the freedom we have. Who the Son has set free, he is free indeed. And I'm glad this morning that I have that freedom, not because of just the soldiers that have fought for us, but because of Jesus who has died for us and give us the life to be able to come inside and wake up this morning just to be able to shout His name. on His count for Him, friend. There's something about it. Listen, we are victorious people is what we are. Victorious people. And you know, we've got so much victory in this, but I want you to turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah chapter 25. And everybody all right this morning? Amen. I hope your mother-in-law didn't move in your house over the weekend and you ain't been sucking on lemons all day. I mean, I want you to, there's something about the love of God that would draw us to the house of God just to be able to worship Him. How about that? How about that? Now, I praise the Lord for it. Whether you have a good time this morning, me and Brother Cody's going to have a good time. Amen, Cody. And I'm just glad to be in the house of God. Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 8, I've told you about this message the Lord laid on me a little while back. It was the perfect time. And verse 8, the Bible says, He will swallow up death and victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from our faces. And the rebuke of His people shall He take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it, and it shall be said, in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him and He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Now, what about that, friend? There's something about that this morning. We find all of that. Beloved, we do not have to live a defeated and a discouraged life. In fact, when we're in Christ, friend, when we're in Christ, we're absolutely opposite of that. God came to this world. He sent His Son, and He gave us the victory so you and I could stand here and do whatever we wanted to do this morning. Could miss church this morning. Could do whatever we want to do. He still died for that. He still died for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a very familiar verse. One of my favorite verses, should be able to quote it. But it said, verse 57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory. I mean, we have the victory. When we sing the old hymn, victory in Jesus, we're singing the truth. We're singing the truth, and I want to ask you folks this morning, I want to get personal with you for just a few moments, is that what happened to your shout? What happened to your shout when I saw you got born again? I seen how you used to lift your voice, you used to do this, you used to that. What happened? You lost your victory. You lost the joy in that victory. God help you. Amen. God help you. If you lost the joy in your salvation, you might need to check up. Amen, friend. Now, I know what it's like to lose the joy. But what I mean by checking up is going back to where you were and seeing where you were and then seeing what God pulled you out of. See if it don't make you a little bit more excited about things. A little bit more happy about things. When I hear people who used to shout every service, who used to worship the Lord and thank God for His goodness, testify and do all that, now they sit like they ain't never been saved. God help you. God help you. All I'm saying this morning, friend, is that when we get into all this, I just wanted to remind you and preach on this simple truth. He fought the fights. I enjoy the victories. He fought the fights. I enjoy the victories. That's simple truth. I'm just going to preach fast and we'll be done. We'll go eat. But if you're thinking about eating, you need this back up and I'll preach a little bit longer if you won't tell me. Amen. Number one this morning, verse 8 in the beginning, it says He'll swallow up death and victory. Simple as that. We have victory over the terror of the grave. We have victory over the terror of the grave. Because of what He done, we have the victory over the terror of the grave. The universal impact of all of this, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto a man once to die, and after this is a judgment. It's very simple that everybody is going to pass from this world and they have to go to another world. It's simple as that. This world we live in today thinks that they're going to live forever. They think that they're going to just do whatever they want to do and live however they want to live. But friend, that's not the case. My God in heaven wants people to be saved. He wants people to turn to Him. He wants people to do all that. But life as we know it will one day end. Life as we know it will one day end. We have to live by faith, but one day it's going to be sight. And one day it's going to be sight. And when that faith turns into sight, what are you going to be seeing? Friend, all I'm saying is there's a universal impact of this death. Man told me one time, I don't know if this man saved, you know him, but he told me this. He said, the reason that people are not afraid to go to hell is because they're not afraid to die. They don't think they're going to die. They're not afraid to go to hell because they don't think they're going to die. They think they're going to live forever. And as we see the world transpire into what it is today, and how all of these people just live how they please, they burn flags, they burn this, they do that, they're crazy, they're just crazy is what they are. But what they do in this day is they're living their lives as there is no end. There is no God. But if you went up to ask them, they might would say that they do believe God. They might not be talking about, they ain't talking about my God. They're talking about your God. Friend, but there's something about these people. They need to know that it's appointed when a man wants to die. We all gonna die from this earth. Every one of us gonna die from this earth, but Jesus has conquered death. He's conquered that death so that you and I, what the angel of the Lord say as he is sitting on top of that, he said, he is not here for he is risen. Amen. Amen. Go see the place the Lord hath laid. He has been risen from that grave in 1 Corinthians in chapter number 15. Back where I was just a second ago, I ought to put a bookmark in it. Verse 15, chapter 15, let me just be quiet for a second. Verse 53, the Bible says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory. God's people need not fear death, friends. Amen. God's people ought not fear death. Death is something that's going to take place. It's going to take place. But if Jesus stayed in the grave, then I would too. But you know the good thing? He didn't stay in the grave, and neither am I. Amen. And I thank God that something Little Ravenhill, he said it like this. Jesus did not come into this world to make bad men good, but rather to make dead men live. And that's what it's all about. Jesus came into this world to seek and to save those which are lost, and he came for me. And I'm gonna rejoice in it. I'm going to be glad in it that when I die from this world, I am going to take one breath here and the next breath there. Yeah, man, friend. That's what I'm going to do. Glory to God. We have victory over the terror of death. In the second part of that verse, it says, the Lord will wipe away tears from our faces, off our faces. How about that? We have the victory over the terror, over the terror of the grave, and over the tears of a broken heart. Over the tears of a broken heart. This world is full of heartbreak. It's full of heartache. It's full of tears. But thanks be unto God, when he takes something away, he don't let you have any of it. He takes it all away, just like my sins, friend. When he took all of them, he took every one of them. And when he wipes my tears away, he's going to take them, and they ain't never going to come back. There's something about that, friend. There's something about that. You know, even in the midst of heartbreak, beloved, Jesus goes on giving us the victory. When we have some people in the Bible we could probably learn from when it comes to that. I think of Paul, and he's talking about the thorn in his side there, the thorn in his flesh, where he says, but his grace is sufficient for thee. It's simple as that. He's simply telling us there, 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, he's simply telling us, don't despair in those troubles sometimes. Don't worry about all that. Do as Paul did. He practically told us there that these thorns are rough, but Jesus is sufficient for thee, and he'll help you through it, thank God. I'm glad about that. And then I thought about Job. Now Job, we know Job lost everything he owned. He lost all of his friends were junk. His wife nearly left him. His kids died. His cattle died. All of the things that Job had lost. Now I want you to understand that it takes us losing 1 week's of pay and we down. God didn't provide for me this time. All right. Amen. God didn't do it. Well, we already, we've been talking about the slothful man anyways, but all I'm saying is that, well, that's how we look at things in this life. But Job lost everything. Everything. Only place he could find God was back in the ash heap. Back where he first said. But he says, in Job chapter 1, verse 20, he tells us there, he goes on through it all, thank God. He said, and then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. And what did he do? He worshipped. Amen. I know most of y'all in here probably got a pocket full of money. I know most of y'all in here probably got some type of something that God's blessed you with this week. I know most of y'all in here have had a perfect ride up through here this morning. Cody slept the whole way. I mean, I'm telling you, God has been good when it comes to that. But I tell you, friend, is that what we have here is Job had lost it all, but he still started worshiping. He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Could you do that? Could you do that? If you lost it all, could you really do that? Because I believe, being the pastor of this church, and I've seen most people fall, I've seen most people get short, and this and that, but when we do that, it's hard to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. It's hard to say, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. It's hard to do that. We've all lost family members. We've all lost stuff like that. And sometimes it's hard to do. It's hard. It's a hard thing to do that. We're flesh people. But Job lost it all. He knew that he had all of it, though, in the Lord. Lord already promised him, I'd give you back twice. I mean, all that, man, he got back twice as much. Now listen, he got back exactly as much, but he had that much on the other side as well. Especially his kids. Now there's something about it, friend, is that when we look at this life that we live, all we need is Jesus. All we need is Jesus, and a day will come when Jesus himself will wipe away all the tears from our eyes. He'll wipe away all the tears from our eyes. He'll heal all of the broken hearts. All the broken hearts. Psalms 30 and verse 5 tells us that a weeping may endure for anger, a weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Y'all know morning's coming, right? Y'all know morning's coming. We have the victory over the terror of the death. Of the grave, we have the victory. I gotta find my text again. We have the victory over the tears of a broken heart. And then thirdly, we have the victory over the tragedy of our trials. The Bible says in verse number 8, going a little end of it, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. Y'all know trials are a common thing for humans. Trials are a common thing for the human being. I mean, it's just going to happen. Job says in Job chapter 14 verse 1, that at the end of that verse, he said, your days are just full of trouble. I mean, we're full of trouble. That's all we're ever going to do and live by in this day is just full of trouble in this world. It's an imperfect world. Y'all know that, right? Imperfect world. In Job chapter 14 and verse 1, I can't quote nothing, so I'm going to go ahead and say it right here. Man that is born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble. Few of days and full of trouble, John. And chapter number 16 and verse number 33, the Bible says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Enough to shout about right there. enough to shout about right there. I know you've probably heard it. The one once said that as a Christian, you're either coming out of a trial, in the midst of a trial, or getting ready to go in one. That's our life. Don't realize that is our life. He never promised it'd be an easy life, but He just promised He'd be with us. There's something about that. Even in them, Jesus still gives the victory, though. Jesus still gives the victory. He says there in James chapter number 1, that count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, trial your faith, work in patience, let patience have a perfect work. Wanting nothing and entire. Because why? How can we count it joy when we're doing all that? How can we count it joy when we ain't got no money in our pocket? How can we count it as joy? Because we don't need that stuff. We have heavenly gain, and Jesus has already won the victory. He has already given us the victory in Jesus Christ. And the joy that we have there is enough. It's enough joy, friend. I tell you, is that we live a life that's not very joyous, you know, in many ways. James chapter 5 verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. And the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Helps us. Helps us, thank God, to get through those times. You know, when trials do come, you can think about Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 10. Says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You wonder why it's hard for you to get through trials and not so hard for somebody else. The closer you are to God, the easier things are going to be.
Amen.
Now, doesn't mean things are just going to be easy. Hunky dory. Everything's great. God's great. The devil's great. Everything's great. I mean, no, it's not going to be that way. It's not going to be that way. But what matters is that God can carry you through these trials. I mean, I've experienced some trials in my life. Some, I'm sure you guys have experienced much more. But there is something about a God in heaven who actually cares for me when I'm in those trials. Actually cares when I'm in those trials. All things work together for good. Those love God. Is that right? I mean, all things work together. One day we will enter a place when these trials will be unwelcome. They'll be unable to enter into those, and we'll leave it all outside the gate. Thank God. We'll have the victory over those trials through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yeah, man. We have victory over terror of a grave, victory over tears, tragedy of trials, and then lastly, and I'll be done, we have the victory over the times of His delay. The Bible says, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We'll be glad and rejoice in His salvation. At times, I feel like John. He says, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And, you know, when we get so down, I work a regular job. Y'all know that. And sometimes you get there and it's like, God's trying to give you something. You can't do this. I'm getting 15 phone calls. Not from you guys. I'm talking about you guys. I'm getting this. I'm getting that. And I'm getting 15 phone calls from the boss. The boss is saying this. Other boss is saying this. Some person saying this. Some person saying that. And that's just how it is. On a normal basis, there's so much going on. Not just at work, but I'm thinking about church. I'm thinking about you guys. I'm thinking about all this. And how can this go on? And sometimes you just want to say, Lord, why can't you just come get us now? Why can't you save us from this mess? Why can you not do that? I'm ready for Him. Are you ready for Him? But oftentimes I wonder, why is He delaying? But then I realize that He's God and I'm Nick. I mean, simple as I can put it, He's God, I'm Nick, He's always going to be God, and I ain't big enough to kick Him off, He's still going to be God. One day, He's still going to be God, but I'm still going to be Nick. But I can tell you this much, is that we ought to just shout for Him while we're here. There will surely be some shouts that when we get there, but there's going to be some shouts before we get there. There's going to be, but we might as well just go ahead and prepare for it, right? Get her voice warmed up. Ain't that right, bro? I mean, just get her, get ready for it. There's a shout of reliance that's mentioned in this. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. Lo, this is our God. This is where our faith should be, friend. The psalmist David put it this way. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hey, he's relying upon his shepherd. Paul put it this way in Hebrews chapter 13. I can't quote these verses. Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 5. Verse number 5. There we go. Let me read those verses. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I mean, as simple as we can get, friend, is that in this world you can rely on nothing. You can rely on nobody. But eventually they will fail. But Jesus, my friend, will never fail. Never will he ever fail. You can always rely on him. And in that, we ought to be able to shout in the fact that we can rely on such eternal being. Amen. Amen. Then there's a shout of relief mentioned here in this verse. He says, we have waited for him. We have waited for him, for those of us who are looking for the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ in the eastern sky, that blessed hope that we're looking forward to one day will surely be a shout of relief. For me, it's going to be a shout of relief when I see him. He's going to shout first. He's going to shout. And the trump of God's going to be raised. And all of that's going to happen. Then we're going to start flying on up into heaven. He's going to call us to himself. Dead Christ going to rise first. Those that are alive and remain, will meet him and them in the clouds. And there's something about that. But at that moment, we'll say, there he is. And he will be our God. And we shall be his people. We will be at the marriage supper before long. After all of the things have taken place. We'll be in the 1,000-year millennium reign. There's so much that's going to take place in that time. But what's going to matter at that exact moment is you're going to see the one that you've been waiting to see. Amen. Amen, friend. I'm ready for that. I'm ready for that. He'll deliver us, and he will have all eternity to enjoy him. Imagine Stephen. Now in Acts in chapter 7, I want you to notice something here. Acts chapter 7 verse 54, the Bible says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open. And the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Now, this is the only time recorded that he was standing once he's been seated at the throne. He was standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. Hey, most churches can't even be in unity, but when they're stoning Stephen, they can be in unity. And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen. Then the Bible says, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then if you didn't know, he fell asleep. God put him under one of them deep sleeps, probably the same sleep that he put Adam in to take his rib out. He put him in a deep sleep at that point in time. And he got down there in that deep sleep, and there he went right on up into heaven. But there's two words I wanted you to notice there. He says, behold. And he says he was calling on Jesus. That's two proclamations of the voice. That's two lips, proclamations of the voice. And I can only imagine that when he seen Jesus standing up there and looking down at him, it was a relief for the life that he had lived. What a preacher. What a preacher who stood there and kept the faith. And there was a shout of reliance, a shout of relief in this verse. Then the Bible says, and he will save us. Is that right? A shout of redemption. Amen. Is anybody saved in here?
Amen.
Amen. That's a shout of redemption. You've been saved. Thank God. I mean, I can ask everybody in here to raise their hands, and you'll probably raise your hands. I can ask everybody in here to say amen, and you'll probably say amen. But the Bible already says to do all those things. Don't listen to me. Listen to it. And I thank God this morning that I have a reason to shout because I have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Without spot, without blemish, He is the God of my life, and He died for me. And I can shout about the redemption in that. I can shout about that. Finally, safe from all the trials, safe from all the world and its trials, Satan and his wiles, all of this stuff that comes about, will be safe in his arms at that point. Safe. I mean, sheltered, safe in that. It's ultimate deliverance at that point in time. We'll be delivered from all of this stuff. And it'll be worth every mile. Been worth every trial. It's been worth every valley that we face. And it'll be worth everything I can say in His dear name. It'll be worth every mile of the trip, friend. Every single thing that you've ever come in contact with in this world will pass away. It says former things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. When you join into that celestial city, that heaven and throne above, and you got into that place with your Savior, friend, there ain't nothing going to matter that was down here. It's all going to be gone. All of it. Amen, friend. Then there is, lastly, there he said there, we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. There was a shout of reliance, shout of relief, shout of redemption. There's a shout of rejoicing. Thank God. There's a shout of rejoicing. Since we have the victory, God's people ought to be a rejoicing people. A rejoicing people. I mean, straight up rejoicing people. Happy all the time type of people. Amen. I know we're still human. Don't worry. But I mean, there is so much. Even on the worst day, when you ain't got no money in your pocket, no gas in your car, ball four of your tires are flat, you can still shout about the fact you ain't going to hell.
Right. Amen.
Yeah, man, friend. I'm glad that I ain't going to hell. Paul put it like this, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Simple. Amen. Simple as it can possibly be. And the psalmist tells us to, oh, clap your hands. Oh, clap your hands. There's something. Beloved, I tell you this morning, though, we don't have to wait until we get to heaven to do that. We don't have to wait to get until we get to heaven to praise the name of the Lord. After all, we do have the victory where we stand today. We have the victory, and no victory that has ever been won has ever been free. No victory that has ever been won has been free. The people who fight overseas for our freedom today that we live is not free. Freedom's not free. There's been lives lost. There's been people killed all over the world so we can have the freedom that we have today. There's nothing that has to do with a victory that it has to be free besides this. If we look at our victory in Jesus Christ, you didn't have to do a thing. You didn't have to do a thing. Victory always demands a very high price. But I tell you is that this morning, there's a news flash that the victory that you and I have is that Jesus paid it all. Every bit of it, every single drop of it was His precious blood. And that's a high cost. That's a high cost so that you and I can have life. And, you know, it's just because God sent His only Son to do that for you and I. And I praise Him this morning. He paid the price so that we could have the victory. He paid the price so that could have the victory. The victory that I have this morning was not cheap, but to me it was free. You didn't have to do anything besides repent and believe. That's it. That's all you had to do. He gives me of His victory without asking or anything. All is required of me is faith. We have that victory in faith. We have the victory of His, in His person, in His place, in His purpose, in His plan. All the things that we can praise the Lord for, and that's the victory of our lives, is that He has purpose, He has plans, He has all the things in our life. He knows what He's going to do tomorrow with us too. Already. All these areas we just need to have victory in this morning. Victory in this morning. I mean, I tell you, friend, it's yours to be taken. And I don't know if you have any victory this morning in certain things. I don't know if you do, but if you don't, you can. You can have the victory when it comes to the terror of the grave, if you're lost, when it comes to terrors of the broken heart. You can have that victory. You can have that victory. The tragedy in our trials, when we get caught up in that kind of stuff, friend, it's so easy to get caught up in. And in the times of His delay, friend, He's coming. He's coming. But I think it's about time for God's people just to start taking Him at His word. You know, in Mark chapter number 4, when it's speaking of the big storm that come about, and Jesus calmed the waves and all this kind of stuff, and their boat began to sink, and all when all of that took place, if they would have just took the Lord at His word, they would have never had to worry about anything. Chapter 4, verse 35 tells us at the beginning of it, and the Lord said, let us go to the other side. He already said, let us go to the other side. If He tells you we're going to the other side, friend, we going to the other side. Doesn't matter if our boat becomes a submarine and we're under the water, we still going to the other side. Amen. That's how it works in life, friend. Even though your boat may be filled to the top, you can still float and be full. Amen. When it comes to Jesus. You can still do all that. Stand to your feet this morning. He fought the battles. I won the victories. I enjoy the victories that I have this morning in Christ Jesus. I enjoy them. We thank You for coming this morning to the homecoming service. And we pray You'll stay and eat. They might have time to stay and eat. It's only 12 o'clock. You might want to get home earlier. It's up to you guys. But we praise the Lord for what He's done this morning. And hope He's helped you. Hope you come here this morning to get help. And as we're going through this dry spell, everybody pray for us. There's a little bit of a dry wind going through here. And we're praying that the Lord would send His wind back in this place. Until the Lord comes again, amen, we can shout about it and worship and amen. Get back to the old-time way, amen. Amen. There ain't nothing better than the old-time way. That way when we first were born again, that way. I mean, that way that we happy and rejoicing. And I mean, you got so much to shout about this morning. You all got so much to shout about this morning, it ain't even funny. But I praise the Lord for His goodness this morning.